All right, Shabbos, say good morning. We have a lot to do today. Beautiful. Daf Ayin, page 70. So if you remember, again, we left off yesterday with the interesting discussion regarding what happens if you go out and you have something that is planted, then you replant it and it grows further. Do we say that the identity of the item is determined by what we call the ikker, the initial growth, or is it defined ultimately again by the tosefes? So we saw a variety of different explanations of that idea. And let's continue with that. Vayit Rabba, we'll say last line, 69b. Last line, 67 with base. Vayit Rabba. So Rabba asked the following kasha. Le'in Meiser Mai. So we'll say, so what is the halacha for Meiser? So the Gemara says, okay, what do you mean? Hehi domi. So the Gemara says, Kigon, da'atap of ayin, da'amdinhu va'asarinhu v'shasalinhu, vosifalahu. We'll say the following case. Let's say we went ahead, Rashi says, damdinu v'asarinhu, shekazer shibolin harbe, velo dashim. So we cut down a whole bunch of stalks, did not thresh them, ela isran v'shaslan la'osan shalchulin. So we'll say, so what happens? We go ahead and cut down a bunch of stalks. We don't thresh them, but we tithe them and then replant them. Vosifaluhu. And now what happens? Now there's further growth. So we'll say, what's the halacha? So look at Rashi. So Rashi says, Imtim salomar lechumra dolaz liran basar ikar lemiftar tosefes mimayser v'tosefes b'nei asuri ikar gufei maile mehadar b'nei asuri ulo. So we'll say, listen to this interesting shayla. When you go ahead and you the grain grew, I cut it down, I tithed it. I now replanted it, it grew more. So we'll say, so what's the shayla? What's the shayla? If we go basar ikar, if we go after the initial growth, then it's considered to be already tithed produce. If we go basar hosafa, if we go after the additional growth, then what? It needs to be tithed. The shayla is, if you go after the hosafa and it has to be tithed, is it just the growth that has to be tithed, or is it the wheat in its entirety that has to be tithed? It's a good kasha. Im tim salomar lo azlinan basar ikar. If you say that we don't go after the initial growth, therefore again v'tosefes by isure, and therefore again you have to go ahead and tithe the tosefes. You have to tithe the additional growth. That's fine, but then my question will be ikar mai. What is the status of the addition? Excuse me. What is the status of the initial growth? Do we assume that the initial growth has already been tithed and therefore need not be tithed again, or do we say no? If the tosefes has to be tithed, so the ikra has to be tithed as well. Incredible shayla. So Amar Abaye, Maishna Mikol Kithius Ari Dalma. So Rabbi says, it's actually very interesting. So Abaye says, I don't understand. Why is this different than normal wheat and barley? Why Rabbi says, what happens with normal wheat and barley? Look at Rashi. Maishna Mikol Kithius Ari Dalma. Ta'afagav Demi Asri. Listen to this. Generally, again, how do you go ahead and plant wheat? You take kernels from already pre-existing wheat. So essentially, wheat, I will say, is always tithed produce that is replanted and then grows. Because think about this. I have a wheat crop. I go ahead, I harvest my wheat. I tithe the wheat. I eat some, I don't. And then what happens? I take some of those leftover kernels and I replant them. So essentially, I'm always replanting tithed produce. So the keys that you're going in and bringing up is actually not such a novelty. Amarlei, Dover Shazaro Kalalomi Boili. So we'll say, see, he responded. The truth is, in an item where the seed, so we'll say, there are different types of growths, as we're going to see. Some items, when you plant the seed totally decomposes. Other items, when you plant the seed or the initial growth is still always remains. We'll see the distinctions. So the Gemara says, only he said to him, Dover Shazaro Kalalomi Boili. If it's an item where the seed totally decomposes, I don't have a shayla. We'll say, look at Rashi, Lomi Boili. Devade bnei isuri hakol dekulu achrininenu. So you will say, if you have a growth that grew, obviously a growth that grew, then you harvested it, then you replanted it, and it grew more, and when you replanted it, the initial seed totally decomposes. So of course you have to take meiser on the new, on the total new growth. Why? Because since the seed decomposes, that shows you that what? That this is a totally new growth. Ella, Rather, my question comes up about saying a case of a plant where the seed does not totally decompose. So we'll say, so what's the shaila, what's the halacha in that case, right? So we'll say, so for example, in this case over here, where I planted a stalk of wheat, the wheat grows more, but the initial quote-unquote seed, which is the stalk of grain, does not decompose. So we'll say, so the shaila now is, I already tithed the ikar. Now, if I have to tithe the Tosefes, if I go Basra Tosefes, do I have to re-tithe the Iker again? So we'll say, essentially what we're saying over here is that when you took an item that grew, you harvested it, and then you replanted it, and it grew more, do we view the new growth as just simple new growth, but the initial growth as still being existence? Or does the new growth recategorize the plant, or the item that's growing, as a totally new entity? What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina will be that if do you have to tithe just the additional new growth, or do you have to retithe the item in totality all over again? So tif short lay mechad am Rabbi Yitzchak am Rabbi Yochanan. So we'll say you can answer this in the following case of Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yochanan. Litra batzal shetiknu v'zaro. So we'll listen to this. If you took a litra, we'll say litra is a measurement. Batzal is an onion. Shetiknu, you tithe this. So we'll say, imagine this case. I take an onion. I tithe the onion. Vizaro. And then I replant it. I replant the onion. And what happens? So I'll say that, and it grows more. Mis Asher, Lefi Kulo. You go ahead and you retithe the entire onion. We'll say, look at Rashi. Mis Asher Lefi Kulo. Shetarach La Asher Af Litra Rishona. So we'll say, so what it's saying is like this. Let's say again, the onion was a litra size. Big onion. Right? Then what happens? I tithe it. I replant it. It grows more. What's the halacha? The Gemara is saying over here, you have to retithe the entire onion after you go ahead and reharvest it. Look at Rashi. Misasa lefikulo. Shetarach la'asar af litra rishona. Alma hadir ba'i asuri. Therefore, you see from here that's what? That when an item experiences additional growth, that recategorizes the item as a brand new growth. And therefore, halacha lemaisi, you have to go ahead and retithe everything. Now, this is the afagav. De'in zarokala. Now, both say, now the way an onion works is you plant the bulb, but even when you go ahead and you harvest the onion, the initial bulb is still there. So this is an example of an item that doesn't totally decompose, yet you're going to have to retithe the entire final product. Amar lei. So the Gemara says, Misas lefikulo, hasam haynu zriyaso. So I'll say, so the Gemara says, that's different. The difference over there, I'll say, is that's the way you grow onions. In other words, you're always planting something that grew a little bit and replanting it because the way you plant onions is with a bulb. Here, hacha, lav haynu zriyaso. We'll say, over here by the case of the wheat, this is not a normal case. So we'll say, the act of going ahead and allowing wheat to grow, then harvesting once it's grown to some point in time, then replanting it afterwards is a non-normative case. So because it's a non-normative case, I'm forced to ask that when there is Tosefes, when it regrows, does that new growth recategorize the entire plant as a new item? Or do we look at the plant as two different parts? There's the Iker, and then there's the Tosefes. To which So the Gemara doesn't seem to answer this particular case. What do we do halacha lemaisa? What do we do halacha lemaisa with this particular maisa? The Gemara doesn't, because Rosh said this is actually a real shaila. Grain grows, I harvest it, I tithe whatever is there, I replant it, it grows more. I obviously have to tithe the tosefes, the additional growth. But do I have to go back and retithe the ikar again, which gets to the fundamental discussion as to how I go ahead and view a plant that grew, was harvested, replanted, grew more. Do I now view it as a totally new plant, right, once it grew again? Or is it, no, a plant with two parts? Nafkamin will be the meiser case. So, listen to this case. A non-perforated flower pot. So we'll say, so what's the halacha? Mahu. What is the halacha? So we'll say, okay, so the Gemara says, we're going to see, what does that mean? Ilo nakov, halo nakov. So we'll say, ultimately, again, if something grows in a non-perforated flower pot, then we'll say, it doesn't have the status of an item growing from the ground. In other words, even though it's growing in soil, right, it doesn't have, we'll say, you know, this gets into a whole discussion about hydroponics. right? And about fruits and vegetables grown hydroponically, in terms of brachas, things like that. So we'll say, so the idea over here is, even though it's growing in dirt, it's not enough for something to be grown in dirt to be considered to be produce of the earth. It has to grow in the earth itself. So the Gemara says, so Achen Nakov Mahu, Ilo Nakov, Halo Nakov. So we'll say, if, I don't understand, if at the end of the day, I'll look at Rashi just a moment. The kapara chashas ilo nakov halo nakov v'shapir taram demina pater ala pater. So what says the Gemara? Says what's the question? Dilma chazra v'nakvol ka'amrit. Maybe what we're concerned about, we'll say, is right now it's not perforated, but maybe you will perforate it, and therefore again it would have the status of adama. To which the Gemara says hacha chadazriyahi. In this case, we'll say it's one act of planting. Chadazriyahi echburi hudu mechabra va'ola. Ultimately, again, I will say it's considered to be one act of planting, and therefore, again, all of the growths are considered to be connected. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Dilma benichusa chazer v'nakva ka'amrit, dachi kami baylan, atzei sheno nakav agadla atuva b'mitzas, v'achar kach nakvu mahu le'isri minei." So I'll say, so really what the Gemara was just asking over there is, essentially, what happens if you have a non-perforated flower pot? And I will say, what's the status of a non-perforated flower pot? It is not subject to the laws of Trumas and Maestros. Why not? Why not? Doesn't grow from the ground. Doesn't grow from the ground. We'll say, so what are we concerned about? Maybe you'll perforate it, and when you perforate it, it grows some more. So now I have a plant that essentially has two stages of growth. One in the non-perforated state, one in the perforated state. And the shaila is, what will be the halacha lagabe? Can you go ahead and tithe that in totality? Because will you not be tithing the pater al ha'asr, or the, I should say, the pater al ha'chayiv? There's some part of that plant that seems to be exempt from tithes, some part of the plant that seems to be obligated in tithes. So the Gemara is trying to compare this ultimately to the case of the wheat that was harvested and regrown. To which the Gemara says, you can't really compare the cases, because in the case of the flower pot, Rabbi Osai, it's true you're changing the metzias of the pot, but what are you not changing? The zriya. The zriya itself was one act of zriya. However, again, hasam shte zriyos ninu. Rabbi Osai, in the case of the wheat, it's actually two distinct acts of planting. Okay, bai Rabbi Abo, shiboles shemer chabakri, v'shasla, v'kara ala shem b'mechuber mahu. Well, so this is another very interesting case. So let's say you have shiboles, right? Shiboles, we'll say, is grain. So I have grain, shemar chabakri. So I have grain. I harvested the grain. I put it in a pile, and I smoothed out the pile. I will say, what's the significance of smoothing out the pile? That is the gemar melacha by grain. Once the pile is smoothed out, the grain is, quote-unquote, complete, and therefore subject to trumas and maestras. Now watch this. What do I do afterwards? I replant it. And when I replant it, I designate it as truma. So in its replanted state, I designate it as truma. So the Gemara says, okay, so what's mahu? What is the status of Osai? Is that designation work? To which the Gemara says, well, kevan demarcha, tavla la. So we'll say, ultimately again, once you go ahead and you smooth out the pile, it's considered to be tevel. Right? Remember again, once you smooth out the pile, it's untithed produce, it's tevel. Ki kara ala hashem, kachala. When you subsequently call it truma, ultimately you go ahead and armor kadesh it. So the Gemara says, armorli abaye the rabbanon, im kein matzino truma, b'mechor b'lekarka. Well, say, if that's the case that you are correct, and this case actually works, where you can have grain that you harvest, put it in a pile, smooth it out, it now becomes subject to trumas and maestros. What do? I replant it. And in its replanted state, I designate it as truma. If you're going to tell me then that works, the Gemara says, now what you've essentially told me is that you could have truma that is attached to the ground. Bless you. You could have truma that is mechubur lekarka. But that's not true. Utnan, lo matzinu truma b'mechubur lekarka. I will say, it's a pretty explicit Mishnah. We do not find truma by mechubur lekarka. Truma by definition has to be detached produce. It cannot be attached produce. Amar lei, kitanya ahi le'inyan ichuve misa v'chomesh. Di talish v'achol talishu. So we'll say, listen to this. So I think I'm going to read that again. Kitanya ahi, we'll say, when do we say that if it's mechubur lekarka, it can't be truma? That means for truma liability purposes. That Rabbi Osai, ultimately, again, remember, if a zar, if a non-coin purposely eats truma, there's a chi of misa. If there's an accidental consumption of truma, you have to pay keren, the principal, plus a penalty fifth. So at the end of the day, says the Gemara, that only applies to detached truma. Only applies to detached truma. But technically speaking, something could have the shem truma even if it is attached to the ground. So the Gemara says, "Di talish va'achil talishu." If you go out and detach it, right, and you go out and you eat it, then in achinami you'll be chayav for liability. Vi'igochin va'achil. But Rabbi says, if you were to go ahead and bend down and consume that truma while it is still attached to the ground, then Rabbi says, technically, have you consumed truma? So the answer is yes. But is there liability? The answer is no. Why? Batla daita itza kol adam. Because Rabbi say, the batla daita itza kol adam means that your behavior is abnormal. And when your behavior is abnormal, ultimately, again, we look at it as insignificant. So Rabbi say, by the way, for example, in terms of consumption, so we see this all of the time. If you eat something that is abnormal, so normally, again, you don't recite a normal bracha. For example, someone plucks a stalk of wheat, right, and eats it. So we'll say, so the halach is you don't say hadama on that, right? Why? Because that's a non-normative act of consumption. So the Gemara says over here, so it's actually quite fascinating. Could truma be mechubah lekarka? Could it be mechubah lekarka? The answer is yes. But what's the issue? There's no liability for truma consumption if it's mechubah lekarka. Why? Because that is a non-normative consumption. And because it's not normal, therefore, by definition, there'll be no liability associated. But even though there's no liability, the produce, when attached to the ground, could still have the identity of truma. Umashna midikasa vapinkasa de'ofa. Why is this different than the following case? We found written, I will say this literally means, on the ledger of Ilfa. Ilfa, I guess, had like a Torah journal, right? A Torah diary. So they found it written down on the ledger of Ilfa. Listen to this case. Beitse nevelas ha'ofatar. We'll say, if you have eggs, you have a kosher bird that died. It's a nevela, died without shechita. And what happens? It had eggs. Miktsasan b'chutz u'miktsasan mifnim. Some of the eggs came out of the chicken, or the bird. Some of the eggs are inside of it. So we'll say, so now watch this case. Rashi says, mibifnim. Kigon, im hichnis piv lemeeha, va'achla bifnim. So we'll say, without getting too graphic over here, I cut open the bird, and I eat the eggs out of the bird. Right? I'm hungry. Right? I cut open the bird, I eat the eggs out of the bird. So we'll say, so what's the halacha in that case? Mitamin begadim abes habliya. We'll say, the halacha is that if you consume a piece of a kosher bird that is now an avela. So what I mean is kosher species that died without shechita. The halacha is it's metame tumas begadim abeis habliya. That the moment you begin to swallow it, it conveys tumah to your clothing. What the Gemara is saying over here is as follows. Even though eggs, you would have thought, might be reckoned something separate than the bird, if I open up the bird and eat the eggs out of the bird, that is considered to be like consumption of an avela, right? And therefore, again, my clothing will become tame as soon as that egg gets into my throat. However, mibachutz, but if I eat the eggs that came out of the bird, ein metamin begadim abeis habliya. Then what? Well, say, so ultimately, the eggs that are outside of the bird do not have the din of nevelas of tahar, and therefore again do not convey tuma. Now, we'll say, now again, so understand what's the Gemara's kasha over here. The kasha over here, we'll say, is that isn't this comparable to the case of bending down and eating the grain while it's still attached to the ground? See, I'll say the halacha is that if I open up the bird, put my mouth inside the bird, and eat the eggs, that is considered as if I've consumed nevelas of tar. And therefore, again, halacha lamaisa, my begotten become tame. Yet, why isn't that comparable to the case of bending over, going ahead and eating from the grain that is attached to the ground? And yet, what did we say in that case? We'll say, what's the halacha? I'm potter. Remember, I've consumed truma, but there's no liability because that is a non-normative act. What's the difference in the case? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Talush avidi inshi da'achli. Hachi b'mechubar lo avidi inshi da'achli. Because we'll say, ultimately, again, it's normal for people to eat the eggs, even if they're inside the bird. It is not normal for people to eat grain that is attached to the ground. It's just a function of, I'll say, ultimately, again, of what's considered to be normative, what's not normative. People will eat the eggs inside. People do not eat. I'm just saying, people eat a lot of things. No one bends down and eats grain that is attached to the ground. Not even as a snack, even if you're hungry. It's just not done. So, again, remember, could it be that a person would eat raw grain? Yeah, but how would you eat it? you would pull it out. That's the chap over here, Rabbosai. The chap is not just simply the food item, which, okay, you could tie up, people eat raw grain, people don't eat raw grain. We could assume that that's not normative either, but people certainly don't eat it while it's attached to the ground. To which the Gemara says, Amar Avtiv Yumi Bar Kisna, Amar Shmuel, Hazarek Kilayim Ba'at Shiyan Rach. Rabbosai, listen to this interesting case. If one goes in and sows Kilayim, right, meaning, for remember, Kilayim are the forbidden mixtures. One sows grain and a vine, or anything for that, any two items for that matter, in a non-perforated flower pot. So we'll say again, once again, atashin onokov, which means that doesn't have the status of karka. What's the halacha? Aser. The halacha, Rabbi said, that ultimately, again, it is aser. So the Gemara says, Amr Abaye, bishlama, so what does that mean, it's aser? So Abaye says, bishlama yashmin aloke makas mardus midirabon on shapir. So what does Abaye says? Now remember, Asr in this case is not the Raisa. Why is it not the Raisa? Because it's not on the ground. Because I will say the Isr of Kilayim is planting two distinct species together in the earth. In the earth, not just simply in dirt, it has to be in the earth. And therefore, if it's not in the earth, in this non-perforated flower pot, so it is not Asr midaraisa. But it is Asr midrabanan. Sabaye says, why do I need the Braisa to teach me that it's Asr midrabanan? So maybe, Iyashmo ina loke makas mardus midrabanan shapir. If the Braisa is coming to teach me that Rabbo said this act is forbidden, and what? And halacha lemaisa, again, I get malchus, I get lashes for it, then I understand the need for the Braisa. However, the Gemara says, Elo Osir Makamashwalan Midrabanan have Yizriya. So we'll say ultimately again, but if you say that it's just coming to teach me that Midrabanan is Osir because this is considered to be an act of planting, then I will tell you Tanino. We learned this already. What did we learn? Tara Mishenu Nokov Ala Nokov Truma Vyakhsa Vyitrum. We'll say if you separated produce from a non perforated flower pot and as truma for items that grew in the ground, what's the halacha? The designation of truma for the produce from the non-perforated flower pot, it works, but what? You have to retithe it again. Which Rabbi Yosef tells you that it becomes truma d'rabbanan, but is incapable of becoming truma d'oraisa. So why? Because this doesn't have the status, so to speak, of produce on a biblical level. So therefore, says Abaye, it can't be that the Braisa is coming to teach me that sowing kilayim in an atzit she'in onokov is asim d'rabbanan, because we already learned that. Rather, what must it be coming to teach me? It must come to teach you that if I did it, not only is asim d'rabbanan, but what? I'll get what's called Malchus Mardus. I will get rabbinic lashes. Good. But say, here we go. Hachitin. A very, very interesting sugya coming up now. Hachitin v'asorin v'hakusmin. So we'll say, chita is wheat, so'orin is barley, kusmin is spelt, shiboles shual is oats, shifon is rye. So we'll say, five different types of grain. So the Gemara says, hari elu chayavin v'chala. We'll say, if you make a dough out of any of these types of grains, that dough is chayiv in chala. Umitzarfin ze'im ze. And they combine with one another. We'll discuss what the ramifications of that combinations are in just a little bit. V'asurim b'chadash m'lifnei ha-Pesach. And I'll say all of these grains are subject to the laws of chadash, and therefore the new crop, which grew since last Pesach, cannot be consumed until the carbon omer of this Pesach is offered. The Gemara says, umiliktzar m'lifnei ha-Omer. You can't harvest them before the omer is brought. If any of these grains took root before the Omer was offered, then the Omer permits them for consumption. But if they did not take root before the carbon Omer, so we learned that halacha already. So for example, if the grain took root before Omer 5778, then Omer 5778 permits them. If not, they're going to have to wait till Omer 5779 before they are consumed. Good. Says the Gemara Tana, Kusmin min chitin, shibolas shual v'shifon min tzara. So this is actually very interesting, that it appears, the Gemara explains to me, that in fact there really are only two primary species of grain, wheat and barley, and each of those have subset categories. So for example, the Gemara says, Kusmin, which is spelled, is actually a subcategory of wheat. Shibolas shual and shifon, which I will say is the oats and rye, are really a subcategory of barley. So the Gemara says kusmin, and the Gemara just gives other names for these items. Kusmin, amud beis. Kusmin, gulba, shifon, dishra, shibolas, shual, shibule, ta'ala. Okay, so say these are all different names for these types of grains as well. to which the Gemara says, "Hani in." Now, what we can infer from this is that these grains, yes, orez v'dochan lo, but rice and millet, not. Now, yes and no for what? Look at Rashi. I'll say, "Hani in." Hani chameshes minim mitzdafin v'chayavin v'chala. It is obviously only, as the Mishnah really said, it's only these five types of grain are both said that if you make bread from these types of grain, number one, they combine with each other, but more importantly, for our purposes now, they are chayiv in chala. They are chayiv in chala. But if you make bread from other types of flour, which Rabbi Yossi knows is absolutely possible, like rice, like millet, the Gemara doesn't really talk about this, but again, corn, then what's the halacha? Lo, I was about to say, Salo means that ultimately those breads would not be subject to the laws of Chala. There would be no Chala obligation. And in addition to that, they would not combine with one another. From where do we know about say that it's only flour or only bread of these five species that really halachically is considered to be bread, and therefore ultimately, again, is subject to Chala and can combine with each other? Amrei Shlakish, Asya lechem lechem imatzah. Make a gzir shava of lechem, lechem from matzah. What's the gzir shava? Ksif hacha. It says over here, v'haya. As well as I said, the pasuk over here, v'haya ba'ach lechem. Gemara's quoting. V'lechem. V'haya ba'ach lechem mi lechem ha'aretz. We'll say it will be that you will eat from the bread of the land. Uksiv hasam lechem oni. And it says over there, lechem oni, right? Bread of affliction. So the Gemara says, what do we see from here? So we, just like again, Abosai, by matzah, so remember that pasuk of ayabach lechem lechem haaretz is talking about the obligation of chala, and it says lechem oni. Just like by matzah, Abosai, what's the halacha? The halacha is that matzah can only be made from the five grains, right? And therefore, because that's considered lechem, so to the halacha of chala only applies to bread made from the five grains. Fahasam gufei minalan. I will say, from where do we know from matzah itself? How do you know that matzah has to come from the five grains? To which the Gemara says, Amar Shlakish v'chein tana de Rabbi Yishmael v'chein tana de Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Amar Kra lo sochal alav chametz shivas yamin tochal alav matzos lechem oni. So we'll say, so what does the pasuk say? The pasuk says, you shall not eat chametz for 7 days, you shall eat matzah, lechem oni. So we'll say, so what do we notice over here? We notice over here the juxtaposition between chametz and matzah. What does that juxtaposition teach us, Rabbi Osai? It teaches me as follows. So the Gemara says, dvarim habaim lidei chimutz, adam yotze bahan yedei chavasa bepesach. So I said, this is amazing. The juxtaposition ultimately between chametz and matzah teaches me that it is only those items which can become chametz that can potentially be used for matzah. Items which cannot become chametz ultimately, again, cannot be used for matzah. Yatsu elu she'in ba'in lidei chimutz, ela lidei sirchon. Rabbi said this comes to exclude what? Items which, although they rise, do not satisfy the halachic criteria for a leavening process, as we learned about in Maseches Pesachim, but rather, even though they rise, we categorize that more as spoilage than chimutz. So Rabbi said, therefore, the Gemara explains that it is the five grains, ultimately, again, that come to the state of chimutz. Other types of grain do not come to the stage of chimutz. So this is actually quite fascinating. So the Gemara explains over here as follows, that halacha lemaisa, we make this gzer shava of lechem lechem. It says lechem by Pesach, it says lechem by challah. So whatever is considered to be lechem by Pesach will be halachically obligated in challah. What could become lechem in Pesach? So we establish only those items which can become chametz. What are the items which can become chametz? Only items made from the five grains, not items made from any type of flour, like rice, like millet. Those are the items that can become chametz, those are the items that can be used for matzah, and therefore those are the items which will be subject to the halachos of challah. Incredible. We start from zamzah, and I will say they combine with one another. So what does this mean? Tana, hatvua ba'kimach ba'betzekos, mitstar from zamzah. So we'll say we learned that grain, or flour, or for that matter, dough, has the ability to go ahead and combine one with one another. So what that means, I will say, is if you have multiple types of flour from the five grains, or multiple doughs made from different of the five grains, and you mix them together, the halacha is they could combine to form a shear. They could combine to form a halachically significant amount. So the Gemara says, okay, lemay hilchasa, combine for what purposes though? In other words, what do I need the combination for? Lemay hilchasa, amrav kana le'inyan chadash. So Rav Kana will say, what does it mean? It means le'inyan chadash. So we'll say what that means is as follows. One is only chayiv if they consume a kezayis of chadash, right? I'm not allowed to eat from the new crop. The new crop is defined as any crop which was planted since last Pesach, before the Omer of this current year. So again, so just for illustration purposes. So right now, chadash is any grain that was planted after last Pesach, 5778, before this coming Pesach, 5779. Moshe said, the halacha is, chadash is aser. It's isur yachid, you're not allowed to eat it. So you can't eat tarfus. Can't eat chadash. Again, remember, we haven't gotten into chadash and chutzlach or anything like that. We'll get into that in Miratz Hashem. But just in the pure halacha, you can't eat chadash. So I will say, so what happens? So like any other isuri achila, there's a shear. What's the shear for chadash? A kizayis. If you eat a kizayis of chadash, you're chayiv. What the Gemara is telling me is that what? If I have, let's say, a quarter of a kizayis of chadash that comes from wheat, and a quarter of a kizayis from barley, and a quarter of kizayis from oats, and a quarter of kizayis from spelt, and I mix it all together to form one kizayis, what's the halacha, Rav Osa? And I consume it, I'm chayiv. Why? Because the five grains, that's what the Mishnah says, mitstarfin. Mitstarfin means they combine with each other to form the requisite shear for prohibited chadash consumption. Rav Yosef Amar Le'inyan Chametz Pesach. So Rav Yosef says, no, what it means actually is Chametz Pesach. Rav Osa, the halacha l'maisa, remember, Chametz Pesach is a little bit different, because Chametz Pesach is already asr b'mashu, but still you need a shir achila to incur kares. So I say, so the halacha is that what? That also the five grains could combine for the isr of Chametz Pesach. Rav Papa Amar le'inyan Meister Sheni. They actually combine for Meister Sheni purposes. What does that mean? The achile chutz l'chom alaki. I will say the halacha is that if you eat a kezayis of Meister Sheni, remember, is your tithe, meaning you could eat it, you could keep it. There's only one condition, which is what? You have to take it and consume it in Yerushalayim. So I will say if you eat a kezayis of Meister Sheni outside of the walls of Yerushalayim, you get malchus. What the Mishnah is teaching me is that what? The different grains could combine to form a sheer kezayis for the prohibition of Meister Sheni. Rava Amar Rava says, Le'inyan Tumas Ochlin. Rava says, Rava says, that actually ramification is Tumas Ochlin, that Aloch Lamaisa, food could only convey Tumah also if it has the shear. So it's, Rava says, everybody just giving different applications of this halacha, namely, that grain, or for that matter, dough, from the five grains have the ability to come together to form the requisite shear. Ayva ha'kamash malan, de tvua ukamachin, dome, dumya, dibitsekos. What we learn ultimately again is that what? Is that grain or flour is like dough. Is like dough. What does that mean? Mahasam uchla ba'ine, avhacha nami uchla ba'ine. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. It's Rashi in the first short line on top. Mahasam batzak uchla ba'ine, lafuke klipas so'orin v'subin shelikimachin, delo uchla ninu. But what we see over here is that the only part of the grains that combine are edible parts of the grain. Only if you have that which is edible does it combine. So for example, Rashi says, what is coming to go ahead and exclude over here are, for example, the bran within the wheat mixture, which is not edible, or klipas sorim, which is all I'm going to focus on, the husks of the barley, right? The covers, the klipa, the husks is the right word, shells, right? The shells are the husks of the barley. We'll say that is inedible. And therefore, because it's inedible, therefore what? It does not combine to form the shear for achila, which makes sense. Only that which is edible is mitzari for the shear. If it's not edible, it's not mitzari for the shear. I have a tanya chita ben klufa ben shein klufa mitzar efes. We have also we learned in a brisa that wheat, whether it's what's the right word, gleaned. Okay, whether it's had the shell removed or not, the halacha is what? Mitzarefes. Because it was apparently the shell, the klipa, ultimately again, of the wheat is in fact edible. So whether it's shelled or not, ultimately again, it combines sora, klufa mitzarefes, sheina klufa in mitzarefes. Was said by barley, only if the shell is removed, ultimately again is the barley Messiah, but if it's not removed, then the shell itself cannot be Mr. FS. Ini, is that true? Vatran de Rabbi Shmuel, but we learned Al Kol Zera Zeruasha Yizara Kederach Shabane Adam Otzil Nizriya. So we'll say, so ultimately, what does that pasuk teach me? That ultimately these grains combine, or the grain has its identity, ultimately as a person plants them. Rashi says over here, she'in makbidin in klipazlan sovavim, kachi mitstarfin l'tuma. Most of the time when a person plants the seeds, it doesn't matter if the shell is on it or not. So to l'gabi tumas ochlin, the food can become tum, which means it's a food item, whether it has the shell or not. So we have a contradiction. Because we just said before that barley only that doesn't have its shell is mitstarif. But if it does have its shell, it's not edible, therefore it's not mitstarif. Here it seems to say, whether it has its shell or not, it is mitstarif. V'adoshim, ultimately, again, even if the wheat is in its shell, the barley is in its shell, the halacha is that it is still mitzarif. So, once we have a contradiction, is the barley mitzarif if it has its shell or not? The same thing about, say, lentils. Right? Lentils also, even if they have their shell, they're still considered to be a food item, and therefore mitzarif, to which the Gemara says, lokasha, it's not a contradiction. Ha belachos, ha biyaveshos. But say everything depends on the state of the barley shell. So apparently, again, if the shell ultimately is moist, then it is considered to be a part of the kernel and therefore edible. If the shell is hard, therefore, again, it is no longer really consumable, and therefore, halacha lamaisa is not mitzdarif. So we'll say, good. So what comes out, by the way, over here, so far we have a number of different things. We've seen ultimately, again, why the five grains are called lechem. We've seen why they're subject to challah. We now understand also that the five grains are mitzdarif, constantly combined with one another. And what I just want to point out, all of the opinions that we mentioned over here, none of them are really mutually exclusive. They can all work. Tumas ochlin, chametz on Pesach, ma'aser sheni, good. Next. Vasurin bechadash mifnei Pesach. So we'll say ultimately again, you cannot consume these grains, right? You cannot consume these grains. They are asr on chada in chad. They are asr as chadash before Pesach. So we'll say again, all of these grains, they only become permitted for consumption when you offer up the carbon omer. Minahalimili. From where do we know this? Says the Gemara. Amreish lagish asya lechem lechem mi matzah. We learn gzir shava ultimately of lechem, lechem of matzah. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Lechem, lechem, lechem kali v'karmel, ma matzah mechameshes minon velo orez v'dochon, av chadashnai mechameshes. I suppose it's kind of what we said before. How do we know that it's these five grains that are subject to the prohibition of chadash? Gzir shava of lechem, lechem. It says lechem by matzah, and just like lechem by matzah is only matzah made of the five grains, and it says lechem by chadash, and therefore again it's only the five grains that are subject to the prohibition of chadash. Good. Veliktor lifnei ha'omer, and you really shouldn't harvest them either before the omer. So we'll say this is actually very interesting, because as we're going to see, not today but more tomorrow, this is going to pose a little bit of a kasha to a mishnah we learned before. But you're not supposed to harvest them. So we'll say, so to be clear, two different things here. You can't eat them, meaning they are prohibited ultimately again before Pesach, before the omer is offered, and you really shouldn't harvest them before the omer either. Minahani mili. From where do I know this? Amr Rabbi Yochanan Asya Reishis Reishis Mechala. Ultimately, you're going to make a Gzir Shavra, we'll say, of Reishis Reishis from Chala. My Kodem LaOmer. We'll say, what does this mean ultimately, that they should not be harvested before the Omer, right? What does that mean? So Rabbi Yonah Amar Kodem Ketziras Omer. So we'll say, Rabbi Yonah says that it means you should not harvest the new crop prior to the cutting down of the Omer. So in other words, the first grain that you actually harvest should be the Omer grain. Only after you've harvested the Omer grain should you go ahead and what? Harvest the other forms of grain. Even though you cannot eat the other grains, ultimately until when? Until the Omer itself is offered. Rabbi Yossi bar Zabda Omer called him Havva'as Omer. Rabbi Yossi bar Zabda says what it means is what? Rabbi Yossi, before you offer up the Omer. So Rabbi Yossi, see this interesting kasha? So the Mishnah tells me that I'm not supposed to go ahead and harvest these grains before the Omer. What does before the Omer mean? So machlokes, Rabbi Yonah says it means the cutting down of them. Once the Omer has been harvested, I can harvest other grains. Rabbi Yossi bar Zavda says it must mean what? It must mean before the bringing of the Omer. We'll say, what's the nafkamina? So remember again, when is the Omer harvested? Second night of Yom Tov. When is the Omer offered? Second day of Yom Tov. So the nafkamina really just is, can I begin harvest? Right, remember again, because so the nafkamina just is, can I begin harvesting that night, or do I have to wait ultimately again until the Omer was usually offered up very early? But what do I have to wait? So the Gemara says, Tanan, we learned asur b'chadush lefnei Pesach v'liktzor lefnei Omer. So we learned in the Mishnah that ultimately again it is asur and chadush before Pesach and to cut it down before the Omer. Bishlom leman damar kol d'havas Omer. Hainu delo ka'ariv luhu v'tani luhu. So we'll say, so you know what, actually we're going to stop over here for today. So I'm going to end you off with this particular machlokes. So fundamental machlokes as to what point in time are you permitted to cut down chadash wheat. Is it after the Omer is harvested, or is it after ultimately again the Omer is brought? Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Yossi bar Zavda, Emir Tashem, will continue with that machlokes tomorrow. But so let me share with you a short idea on the parsha.